Thank you, Kelly, for ministering to us in song. And we thank God there's nothing can wash away our stain. But it is nothing but the blood of Jesus. I want you to open your Bibles with me this evening in the book of Hebrews in the 2nd chapter, as we would read some verses from God's Word, and then we would minister the Word that God has given to us. We'll stand to our feet with our Bibles open, and we'll just, first of all, we'll read the Scriptures, and then we'll have a word of prayer. Let's stand to our feet together, please, and let us follow the reading of God's precious Word. Just 3 verses. Therefore, we ought to give the more earnest heed to the things which we have heard, lest at any time we should let them slip. For if the word spoken by angels was steadfast, and every transgression and disobedience received a just recompense of reward, how shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation, which at the first began to be spoken by the Lord, and was confirmed unto us by them that heard him? Let's bow our heads in prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank thee for thy word this evening. And to this end, O God, I take the promised Holy Ghost. We thank the Lord that thou hast promised to give us the outpouring of thy Spirit. And Father, we thank thee that thou hast promised to aid us as we minister thy word. For tonight we realize that the letter killeth, but it is the Spirit alone that giveth life. We pray that by thy Holy Spirit, O God, that thou wilt open the eyes of the unconverted, and that thou wilt let them behold the Lamb of God that alone taketh away their sin. And so, Lord, just keep your hand upon us as we preach thy word, and give us, Lord, a mighty time in thy presence. O God, speak, we pray. Let thy voice be heard beyond the voice of man, and give all the honor and glory to the Lord Jesus Christ, for we ask it in his lovely name. Amen and amen. Last Lord's Day evening in our service, our gospel service, I spoke upon the subject, when God asks the question. When God asks the question, and in that meeting, we considered the question of life, where God asked the question, what is your life? And then we asked the question of lordship. When God asked the question to Adam, Adam, where art thou? And then thirdly, we looked at the question of loss. What shall it profit a man if he gain the whole world and he lose his own soul? For what can a man give in exchange for his soul? Then lastly, we asked the question of leaving. If a man die, shall he live again? But tonight, friends, I want us to ponder another question. It's a question that is posed here in verse number 3 of the 2nd chapter of the book of Hebrews. And the question is this: how shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation? It's a question of lament. How shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation? In many ways, you know, this is the unanswerable question, the question that has no answer. I want us to look at the text this evening, and I pray that the Spirit of God will speak to all of our hearts as we think about this question, the question, the unanswerable question, and yet the question of lament. How shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation? Now, in the book of Hebrews, you'll find that there are 5 different recorded responses that man gives to the preaching of the Word of God. First of all, we have in chapter 2, we have drifting from the Word, and that it takes in the neglect of our soul. How shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation? And then in the 3rd chapter, we find that man not only drifts from the Word, but man doubts the Word because there's a hardness in his heart. In chapter 3, in the verse number 7, it says, wherefore today, if ye hear his voice, harden not your hearts as in the day of provocation. And you know, man hardens his heart against the preaching and against the working of the Spirit of God and the proclamation of his precious Word. In the 5th chapter of the book of Hebrews, we find in the verse number 11 these words, of whom we have many things to say, and hard to be uttered, seeing ye are dull of hearing." And that's the third thing. There is a dullness towards the Word of God. There's a carelessness. And when the Word of God is preached, friend, there is a carelessness in man's heart, and he shrugs his shoulder because he has a dullness of hearing. It does not sink into the very depths of his soul. Then you come to chapter 10 of the book of Hebrews. You'll find that it deepens, because in verse 26 it says of Hebrews chapter 10, "For if we sin willfully, after that we have received the knowledge of the truth, there remaineth no more sacrifice for sins." And friend, that is a despising of the word, because it is not only a sinning against truth and a sinning against light, but the Word of God says we do it willfully. We do it by the will, and we do it despising that the Word that God has brought to our soul in the preaching of His precious truth. And then finally we find in chapter 12 and the verse 25 it says, "So that ye refuse not him that speaketh. For if they escape not who refused him that spake on earth, much more shall not we escape if we turn away from him that speaketh from heaven." There's a not only a despising the word, but there's a defying the word. Refusing to hear and defying the very God who brings his word to our hearts. But I want us to go back to the verse now in chapter 2, because it asks a question with these words: how shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation? My friend, let me tell you, there's a serious issue here of great importance. It is when men and women neglect the issue of their soul. You know, it's a serious thing to hear the Word of God. God has said in His Word that through the foolishness of preaching, that God has ordained to save them that believe. But you know, there are those tonight that even though the Word of God is brought to their hearts, their minds so occupied with other things that the devil will take the good seed away, and you will drift away, friend. Drift away just so silently, and perhaps even it seems so carelessly, just drifting away from the preaching of the Word of God. I want us to think of three things tonight as God gives us help. First of all, it says so great salvation. And that brings me to our first thought. There's a great salvation here that I believe that is worth our meditation upon this evening. Then secondly, you'll find that there is a grievous seduction here, because it says if we neglect so great salvation. And how the devil is so crafty, friend. And how he seduces men and women. And my, he takes them away. And my, they neglect the issue of their soul. And then lastly, there's a gloomy search here, because it says, how shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation? First of all, this evening, a great salvation. Why is it called a great salvation? I think I can give many answers. Why that salvation, my friend, is a great salvation. First of all, because of its preparation. You see, my friend, the salvation of my soul is something that started away back in eternity. Before the earth was ever formed, I want to tell you, I was in the heart of God Himself, because God planned the salvation of man's soul away in the eternity past. That's why it is a great salvation, because of its preparation. If you turn with me to 2 Timothy and the chapter number 1, in the verse 9 it says these words, "Who hath saved us and called us with an holy calling, not according to our works, but according to His own purpose and grace, which was given us in Christ Jesus before the world began." And so, friend, here we have a powerful thought about the salvation of my soul. I'll tell you, friend, it didn't start in the heart of God when I was born or formed in the womb. Praise God, the salvation of my soul was planned away back in eternity. Thank God, before God ever formed the earth or God ever put the world on its axis, I was in the heart of Almighty God in the great plan of sovereign salvation, saving grace of God that was planned for my soul. Turn to the book of Ephesians for a moment. In the book of Ephesians chapter 1 and the verse number 4, it says this: according as he hath chosen us in him, that's in Christ, before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love. Think about the preparation of our salvation, friend, away back in the eternity past. God thought upon us. God planned the salvation of our soul. God purposed the salvation of our soul according as he hath chosen us in Christ. It's amazing. I stand amazed at that I would ever be thought of in the heart of God, friend, before I was ever formed in the womb. Thank God I was chosen in Christ before the foundation of the world. It's a great salvation because of its preparation. Secondly, it's a great salvation because of its price. Whenever we think about this salvation, you know, people talk about things, but my friend, let me tell you, there was a price to be paid for man's salvation. Man owed a debt to God. Man was lost in his sin. Man was bound by his sin. Man was going to hell in his sin. But glory to God, God not only prepared a great plan of redemption, but praise God, he procured it by the price and the coinage of the precious blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. First Peter says, who his own self bare our sins in his own body on the tree. Isaiah chapter 53 verse 5 says, he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised or crushed for our iniquities. And the chastisement of our peace was upon him. And glory to God, with his stripes we are healed. He bare our sin. Glory to God, he blots out our sin. And glory to God, he'll banish our sin. That's a great thing. That's a great salvation. I'll tell you, it's a full, it's a free, it's a wonderful salvation in and through the cross of the Lord Jesus Christ. It's a great salvation because of its preparation. It's a great salvation because of its price. It's a great salvation, thirdly, because of its power. In 1 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 17, it says there, it says, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. 2 Corinthians 5:17. If any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Thank God there's a transformation. And when a man's saved, friend, let me tell you, there are people say to me, preacher, I would love to be saved, but I couldn't give the old fags up. I would love to be saved, but I couldn't give the booze up. Oh, preacher, I'm bound and I'm fettered by my sin. And let me tell you this, they're trying to live the Christian life before they get it. I'll tell you, my friend, when you get the life that Jesus Christ gives you, the Bible says, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creation, and the old things are passed away. And glory to God, there is a power in the gospel. There's a glorious power in the gospel that can take a man who's a drunkard, and glory to God, he can make him a man that has tasted of the wine of heaven and he'll not go back to the boozing house again. Glory to God, whenever he is saved by the grace of God, the devil, my friend, has put on his lips the curses of hell. But when God saves him, he'll put on his lips the praises of heaven. That's the power of the gospel. It's a great salvation. And if you're here tonight, friend, and listen, you're wondering how you'll keep it. People say, no, preacher, I would love to be saved, but I couldn't keep it. Friend, that's right, you couldn't. You couldn't keep it, and neither could I. But praise God, there's a power in the gospel of Jesus Christ that transforms a man and makes him different. Glory to God! It's not his power that he breaks the powers of sin, but it's the power of Christ that breaks the power of sin. That's why you're saved. You're changed. You see, salvation belongeth unto the Lord. And I'll tell you, man will not get the glory. Man will not get any glory out of the salvation of man's soul. Friend, let me tell you, all the glory's to the Lord. It's only the Lord Jesus can save. Somebody said one time about Nicholson. You're preaching a great campaign. And you know, people were invited into the meetings and they laughed at Nicholson. They said, "Hi, Nicholson. Nicholson, I saw one of your converts the other day. And boys, he was staggering. He was taking the whole street. And he was going from side to side." He says, "Nicholson, there's one of your converts." And Nicholson says, "That's correct. That's one of mine." Because you see, if he had been the Lord's, he wouldn't be the way he is. And I tell you this, when God saves a man, this salvation we're talking about, I'll tell you this, he gives you life. And he gives you life everlasting. He gives you life abundant. And Jesus Christ is a great salvation because of its power. But something else is a great salvation because of its provision. Let me tell you, do you notice those two words? The Bible says the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. And then the Word of God says something else. In John 3:16 it says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life." And on the one hand there's eternal life, on the other hand there is everlasting life. And people say to me, "Preacher, is there a difference?" Let me tell you what the difference is, friend. Eternal life is the quantity. Or everlasting life's the quantity. Eternal life, thank God, is the quality. That's the difference. The quality, what are you getting? I'll tell you, it's a real McCoy. It's like a man going into some of these shops and get a suit. And let me tell you, just have it on a day and there's that many. It goes this way and that way. And boys, I'll tell you this, he's got the quality that he bought. And then the other boy, he gets in a manly suit. And boys, he thinks he's no goat's toe. Because he has got the real McCoy on him. I'll tell you this, when God saves you and when God provides for your salvation, friend, I want to tell you, he gives you not only quality, he gives you quantity too. He gives you them both. And the quality he gives you, thank God, it's eternal. And the quantity he gives you, it's everlasting. It'll never end. And I want to tell you tonight, the salvation which God gives to my soul and has brought to my soul, the devil in hell will never be able to take it from me. There's not the power of hell, friend, that's strong enough to take away the eternal life that God has given me. That's the quality of it. Oh, glory to God. It's a quality product. It's eternal life. Life eternal. And thank God the quantity of it. It's life everlasting. It'll go on and on and on and on. Remember when the children of Israel were in the wilderness and they walked in the wilderness 40 years. Let me tell you this. They never needed a new pair of shoes because their shoes never run out. It's amazing. It seems to be that as their feet grew, their shoes grew. They never needed a new pair of shoes. And I'll tell you this, friend. When you really get God's salvation, you'll need nothing more. You'll need nothing more. People talk, you know, sometimes about a second blessing. I want to tell you, if you have stopped at the second one, the Lord pity you. Because I'm telling you this, the Lord has blessed me again and again and again and again and again and again and again, and he's still blessing me, and he's not going to stop. That's the kind of blessing that you and I need. Oh, the quality of it! It is eternal glory to God! And the quantity of it, it's everlasting, it'll never end! That's why it's a great salvation. It's a great salvation because of its provision. It's a great salvation because of its prospects. I'll tell you, my friend, what the prospect of the salvation is. It's heaven. It's heaven itself. Over in 1 Peter, if you look there over in the little book of 1 Peter in the chapter 1, this is what it says. In verse number 3, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to his abundant mercy hath begotten us again unto a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled, that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you." Praise God tonight. It's prospects. Reserved in heaven. There's a place in heaven, let me tell you. You know, the song, some of these boys put foolish lines in songs, and they call them hymns. The Lord built me a cabin on the corner of glory land. God forgive them. You think the Lord Jesus Christ went away 2,000 years ago, friend, to build a cabin? He did nothing of the sort. That's an insult to the Lord. I'll tell you, God's word says, in my Father's house are many mansions. He says, I go to prepare that place for you. What's he preparing? He's placing, preparing a mansion. And let me tell you, friend, it could be nothing else but a mansion when the Lord's preparing it. Because when the Lord, listen, he spake this world into being, friend, and look at the wonder of God's creation. Look around it and see the hills and the valleys and the rivulets and the streams. And look at the mountains, friend, and see all of God's creation. O Lord, my God, when I in awesome wonder consider all the works thy hand hath made. I see the stars. I hear the mighty thunder, thy power throughout the universe displayed. Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee. How great thou art! How great thou art! Oh, think of it when God says in his word that in the space of 6 days he made the earth, the sea, and all that in them is, and also every part of the creation, when he made the birds and the flowers and he made man. And he put him here in this old world, friend. Listen, and he's away nearly 2,000 years to prepare this place for us. What a place it's going to be. And then, thank God, he's going to put a reservation notice on it. And there in heaven, I want to tell you, this poor lost sinner that God saved by his sovereign grace, unworthy, totally, absolutely unworthy of it. But praise God, my name's in heaven, and there's a place where my name's on a mansion, and it's reserved for me. And one day he's going to take me to it. And it's in a mansion, it's a place incorruptible, and it's undefiled. And praise God, it fadeth not away. It's a great salvation. Because of its preparation and its price and its power and its provision and its prospects. It's a great salvation because of its plan. Oh, think of the plan of salvation, friend. You know, you and I need to realize something tonight, that we're only sinners. At the very best, that's all we are. We were born in sin, we were shaped in iniquity. Our back was to God, our face was to the world, friend. We loved our sin. Because we're through absolutely from head to toe a sinner. But thank God, God loved the sinner. And friend, although the wages of my sin was death, and I was bound for hell because of my sin, and the wages of my sin was death, but praise God, Jesus Christ, God's lovely Son, stepped out of the glory one day, and he became my substitute. And he stood in my guilty room instead, and he said, Father, I'll go, and I'll take all the hell and all the punishment and all the pain. I'll pay the price of his salvation. And thank God he did it for me. And that's the good news of the gospel, friend. It's a great plan of salvation. We sing the lovely old hymn, There is a Green Hill Far Away, without or outside the city wall, where our dear Lord was crucified, who died to save us all. Oh, friend, let me tell you, we cannot know, we may not know the price he had to bear, the pain he had to bear, but we believe it was for us. He hung and he suffered there. Oh, the love of God for sinners. The love of God for you, young fellow, tonight. Have you said to me, preacher, I don't believe anybody cares or anybody knows he even exists. Let me tell you, friend, it's a lie. God loves you. And God loved you so much that he sent his darling son to save you. For you couldn't save yourself. For mankind is lost and depraved and undone and unholy on his way to hell. But praise God, Jesus Christ, the Son of God, went to the cross of Calvary, and there he died that you and I might be redeemed. And he comes by the blessed power of the Holy Spirit, and he stands outside the door of your heart, and he knocks, and he says, "Sinner, behold, I stand at the door. I'm outside, and I want to come in. I want to take away that rotten sin that's inside. I want to break the chains of sin that bind you and fetter you, and will take you to a lost sinner's hell." And friend, if any man hear my voice and open that door, he says, "I will come into him. And I'll sup with him and he with me." A little boy of 8 years of age sitting in a little gospel meeting, friend. Just in an old wooden form. A little boy asked the Lord Jesus Christ, "Lord Jesus, you're at the door. But I want you in. And friend, I opened the door of my life and my heart because the blessed Spirit of God was working in my soul. And thank God he gave me grace and he gave me the gift of faith. And I put my faith and my trust in Jesus Christ alone and what he did for me at Calvary. It is enough that Jesus died and that he died for me." Friend, you don't need to go to hell. You don't need to be lost. You don't need to perish. Oh, you don't need to listen to the devil's lie that there's no hope. Glory to God, there is a blessed hope for those who trust the Savior. So great salvation. Tell my friend, what have you done with it? Let's move very quickly. There's a grievous seduction here, or temptation. For the Bible says, how shall we escape if we neglect? Neglect so great salvation. Drifting away from God. Is that what you're doing, friend? Drifting. Drifting away. Bible says faith cometh by hearing. Hearing by the word of God. Tell me, what have you done with the message? What are you doing with the message of God? Faith cometh by hearing. You've heard the word of God. The Bible says today, today if you will hear his voice, harden not your heart. Are you paying attention tonight? Are you paying attention to what God's saying here, friend? The warnings of God, you know, are not empty. God's not bluffing you. When he says the wicked shall be cast into hell, and those that forget God. God's not bluffing, friend. God's not bluffing when he says the wages of sin is death. God's not bluffing, friend, when God says sin, when it is finished, bringeth forth death. God commands you to be saved tonight. And let me tell you, friend, the commands of God's not suggestions. God's not giving you a suggestion. God's giving you a command. That all men everywhere must repent. My friend, tonight, you've got to repent of your sin. You've got to turn away from your sin. There's not going to be a change of mind over your sin. You can't keep your sin and receive Christ at the same time. I'm tired of sin and straying, Lord, now I'm coming home. Is that true, friend? Are you tired of your sin? Are you sick of your sin? Speaking to our brother David this morning, one of our elders, Brother David King, he was saying about down the town the other night. Saturday night he was down the town and the car pulled up and this young girl stepped out this. A young woman stepped out of this car, friend, and she stepped out of the car just about to go into the pub. She just stepped and she just vomited all around her. What a poor sight. I says, "Tell me, David, what did you do?" "And let me tell you this, and after the vomit and after all that she spewed out, then she would go back for more. Into the pub to get more of the brew of the devil to destroy her body and to destroy her mind and to destroy her soul. Drifting away. Tell me, what are you doing with the gospel of Christ tonight? What are you doing with the message? Drifting away. Not only, friend, from the message, but drifting away from the opportunities. You know, God's given you a wonderful opportunity. Here you are in God's house tonight. And God's given you an opportunity to get right with Him, and God's given you an opportunity to be saved. You know, a man in business, let me say this to you. A man in business doesn't only lose it because of he falls on hard times. But a man can lose his business because he neglects his business. A person can fail an exam, friend. Not because they weren't able to learn, but they just neglected to learn. Man is sick. He not only commits suicide by taking poison, friend, but he can do it by neglecting to take the proper medicine. He just neglects to do it. Is that what you're doing? You're not standing up in the meeting and shouting out and saying, I don't want Jesus Christ! I don't want God's salvation! My friend, let me tell you, the vast majority of men and women, let me tell you, that in this wee land of Ulster, many of them know the gospel, but tonight they're not saved. Why? It's not because they don't know. It's just neglecting. Neglecting God's salvation. Some feel as long as they're not down in the gutter, they're all right. But friend, let me tell you, you're giving your soul a false security. Just like the man who thinks, a plenty of time. I was here last Sunday night. Sure, I can get saved. I can get saved. My, I need to know more. I need to know more about this book. Let me tell you, my friend, do you know you're a sinner? Do you know if you die in your sin, you'll be lost in hell for all eternity? That the wages of your sin is death, and that for all eternity. Do you know that Christ died for you, and He shed His precious blood to rescue you from hell? Do you know God loves you? And God's standing at the door of your heart, and He says, behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open that door, I will come in. And friend, listen. He said, but listen, I need you no more. Tell me, what more do you need? What more do you want? What more has God got to say to you? For let me tell you, He said it all in the blood of His Son. And in His blood, let me tell you, He wrote, I love you, sinner. And He wrote it in the blood of His precious Son. And He stands with outstretched arms and He bids you come to Him. Do you ever ask the question, what must I do to be saved? The answer says, believe or trust in the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. Listen to me. Let me ask you another question, Ben. Preacher, what have I do to be lost? Tell me! What have I got to do to be lost? I'll tell you the answer. Nothing at all. Just go on the road you're going. Nothing at all, friend. You don't have to do anything. Because you're already lost in your sin. And what you're going to do tonight is this. You're just going to shrug it off. Dust yourself down of the gospel once more. And walk out into the darkness without Jesus. Neglect salvation, but there's a gloomy search here. Look at the question as we close. How shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation? Listen, friend, ask that to your own heart. Ask that to your sinner friend. Just ask your sinner friend this question. Listen, how shall we escape? How are we going to escape if we neglect this great salvation? How shall we escape? And I'm going to ask you a question very plainly, friend. Like, tell me this. How do you plan to escape hell? How do you plan to escape? What's your master plan of escape? God's speaking to your heart, but you don't want to receive Him. You don't want to bow before Him. You don't want to accept your place as a sinner and humble yourself and cry out, God, save me, I perish. Tell me, friend, well, what's your big plan? What's your big plan of escape? No, people plan for retirement. People plan for sickness. If sickness comes, they'll try and get a health plan or a retirement plan, other things. Then tell me, what about an eternal plan? What about the plan for eternity? How shall we escape? Let me tell you this, friend. There are two classes of people in hell. Listen to me carefully. There's the rejecter, and there's the neglecter. You ever thought of that? There's the rejecter, and there's the neglecter. You say, is there a difference in those two? Yes, friend, there is. Listen to me carefully. The rejecter is a man that says to God, no! No, God! I will not come! I will not receive your son! He's a rejecter. But what about the neglecter, friend? You see, the neglecter says, yes. It's not no, friend. It's yes. I do believe that I'm a sinner. I do believe that I need to be saved. I do believe that without the blood of Christ, my sins will never be cleansed. But not now. Then tell me when. When are you going to get saved, friend? Tomorrow? Well, God says, boast not thyself of tomorrow. For thou knowest not what a day may bring forth. Our friend Tommy Gilmer has walked around the town so many days. I've listened to people say to me, our brother Willie said I was talking to him yesterday. Friend, he was found dead this morning. What if he was relying on God's salvation today when I get to church? Friend, he would have been in hell. For he never made church. See, God says today, if you hear his voice, harden not your heart. Now listen to the question again as we close. How shall we escape? Listen, put it in yourself, friend. Listen, how shall I escape? How am I going to escape if I neglect so great salvation? Let me give you the answer, friend. You won't. You won't. And the devil's lying to you. And he's stringing you along as his fool. And he's telling you, yes, tomorrow, some other day, some other time, another opportunity. And let me tell you, friend, the devil wants you in hell. He wants to damn you. Jesus Christ, the Son of God, he says, today, if you hear my voice, he says, harden not your heart. Why? Because he says, boast not thyself of tomorrow. for thou knowest not what a day may bring forth. Thank God you can escape tonight to the cross. Thank God there's power in the blood of Christ. I don't care how deep in sin you are. I don't care who you are, friend, tonight. Listen, there's power in the blood of Jesus to cleanse from every sin. Man stood up in the assembly the other day and he said, listen, if it wasn't a war we had, he says, it was hell. And I stood up and I said, I want to tell you, sir, it wasn't a war, but I want to tell you it wasn't hell, because if you knew what hell was, if you knew what God said about hell, I want to tell you, friend, there's no way out of hell. There's no end! Forever and ever! How shall we escape if we neglect? Friend, you won't. I beg you in God's name, don't neglect it. Run to Jesus tonight. Run to the cross. Run to the Savior. Thank God he'll save you. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Heavenly Father, thank you for your word. And I pray tonight that by thy Holy Spirit that thou will draw near to young and old. O Spirit of the living God, come. O Spirit of God, come to hearts that are broken by sin. Come to hearts, our God, that hold sin to their bosom as if it was a joyful thing. Show them tonight that sin, when it is finished, will only bring forth death. Oh, please, God, save tonight. As our heads are bowed and our eyes are closed, friend, the little verse of the hymn says, just as I am, without one plea, O Lamb of God, I come. Tell me, will you come? Will you come, sir, tonight to Jesus? Will you come, young woman, to Christ tonight? Will you open that door? Are you going to turn away from him? You say, I'm not going to answer that question tonight, preacher. I'm just going out the way I come in. I'm just going to neglect. And friend, you're drifting. On you go. Drifting away. Further and further and further away from God. Until you drop into hell. Will you come? As our heads are bowed and eyes are closed, and we sing that little verse, Sally. Dear unsaved person, just indicate that desire. Preacher, point me to Jesus tonight. Just lift that hand above your head that I'll see it. Don't worry. God is witness to it. He knows your heart. God give you grace to come. O Lamb of God, I come just as I am. Just as I am, without one plea, that thy blood was shed for me. Is there one right now in the service, friend? Would you just lift that hand toward heaven? Preacher, lead me to Jesus tonight. The Lord Jesus shed his blood for me to take away my sin. O Lamb of God. O Lamb of God, I come. Would you slip that hand above your head that I can see it, friend? Don't be afraid or ashamed. I come just as I am, waiting not the final invitation. Just as. It's a final invitation of this meeting. Friend, it could be your final invitation of all. is the one in the closing second. I beg you in Jesus' name, run to Christ. You're not going to escape, friend, if you neglect him. Would you lift that hand right now above your head? Preacher, here's my hand, signal to heaven. Downstairs or up in the gallery. Friend, wherever you are, run to Jesus tonight. O Lamb of God, I come as the one before we close. I come. Please, God, write thy word in hearts. Don't let men and women, young people, go away without you. Make this the night of their salvation. Please save them. And that for all eternity. For Jesus' sake. Amen.